You're listening to the Divorce and Your Money Show, the number one podcast that discusses the complex business of divorce. I'm your host, Sean Lehman, MBA and certified divorce financial analyst. And in this episode, I actually am going to gear this for people who don't listen to the show. So many of you listening, I want you to share this episode if you're a regular listener, and actually consider sharing this episode with your spouse. The reason I'm recording this episode is an issue came up and has been coming up over and over again. And there's a lot of people who are what I'll call in the research phase or still early in the divorce process where they haven't really gotten deep into the nitty-gritty of a settlement. And so you're at this point where you know you're getting divorced, but you're still, for some of you, in a place where you can at least communicate with your soon-to-be ex-spouse. I'm not saying that you're on the best of terms, you're best buds, you're hanging out and all of that, but you are civil with them and you're in a place where you can really dictate the terms and the way that this divorce process is going to go. So even if you're not someone who has listened to me much, that's okay. I want some new listeners to listen to this episode. And here's the deal. And I just want to share something with you. I want to keep this relatively brief. And that is that when you're approaching particularly the early phases of your divorce, you know, I get to help hundreds, if not thousands of people each year with their divorce. And as of right now, even this podcast, as I recorded, has reached almost 60,000 people across the United States with their divorces. And the one thing that I've learned is you have a lot of control over the process that you might not realize. And there's an easy way to get divorced and a hard way to get divorced. Now, no solution is truly quote unquote easy, but the easy way in this case is a way that avoids a lot of fighting. It doesn't mean you agree on everything, but you have to be reasonable and you give some give and take. And most importantly is you and your spouse sit and work as many of the details as you can, or as few of the details, but whatever you can, out together without the involvement of lots of attorneys, the gallery, the peanut gallery, meaning friends and family and everyone else. Just come up with something that's reasonable to you. You don't necessarily have to do it face to face, but with one of the most successful clients I've had, and I know several clients who do this, they work it out by email. They come up with a proposal. They say, hey, here are the five things I really want. These are pretty fair in my opinion. What do you think about these five things? The other spouse will say, you know, I kind of want a little bit more of this and that. And they get too close to an agreement. It's not going to be perfect. There's always lots of details that have to be filled in. But they can take a lot of the major hard work, if you're both reasonable, and take that hard work to an attorney just to iron out the final details, to dot the I's and cross the T's, so to speak. The alternative is you and your spouse have attorneys that fight it out for you. And ultimately what happens is the attorney's job is to represent the spouse in their best interest, who hires them. And so they tend to over-exaggerate things. So, you know, one thing I always say is try not to fire any shots during the divorce process. It still may be a war, but you don't necessarily need to be the aggressor when you're still on friendly terms with your spouse. As long as there's no abuse or other, you know, crazy situations, you can really control and take control of this process yourself. And so when you get attorneys involved, is the attorney's job, let's just say, if you're the husband, is to represent the husband's best interest. And that might be something like, I'm going to demand, or the attorney's going to suggest, let's say you get a zealous father's right attorney, they're going to say, you should demand full custody of the children from your wife. And in that case, all of a sudden, you're starting off the divorce on the wrong foot, is you're demanding something that's unrealistic. Do you really not want the kids to ever see their mom? Is that really good for them? That's just not being reasonable. Or they'll say, I want all the house, all the kids, all the assets, and I'm not going to pay any support if that's the case. That's also not a reasonable footing. I mean, you should be generally aware of the laws in your state, but you know that pretty much that is not going to be the case. Now, conversely, the wife and her attorney is going to come to you and say, well, I demand full custody too. And now, of course, the father's not going to go for that. And The wife might even toss in, which I see on occasion, is like, I want to take the kids to Costa Rica or to whatever country here to take them forever. Now, if there's no abuse, and even if you don't like your husband at the time, the father of the kids, it doesn't mean that that person should necessarily be 100% out of their life. And that's just not reasonable. And so instead of proposing these things in legal documents, and you get the emails on the Friday afternoons that has this crazy proposal and stirring up a bunch of emotions, why don't you sit down? And when you have the possibility to be in control of this process, don't make it more of a fight than it needs to be. And your goal should be to get to a point where both of you is unhappy with the solution, meaning, you know, it might not be a perfect 50-50 split. There's a lot of variations into individual circumstances, but if you can both live with the result of what you can come up with together, you can just have someone draw it up. And that way you can save, instead of spending $10,000 a person, at least, on attorneys and attorney's fees and documents going back and forth and mediations and discovery and depositions and interrogatories and all of these things, you can say, hey, when the situation warrants it, and when you're still trying to just figure this out, you know, the papers are coming, or maybe you just got the papers and you're trying to figure out how to respond, you can figure out these details on your own and then just have an attorney double check and just say, hey, does this cover all of our bases? Have we gotten pretty close to an agreement? Oh, you know, they might say, here's a common issue that the people don't necessarily know is, you know, maybe they'll have to figure out a few things regarding the technicalities of splitting a retirement plan. They'll say, oh, you know, if you're going to give your spouse half the retirement plan, you got to make sure you insert the information for the quadro, and we got to get it checked ahead of time and blah, blah, blah. If you listen to the show before some of the other episodes, you'll know what I'm talking about. Or they might say, oh, you forgot the details about how we're going to handle the kids on major holidays or something like that. But you agreed to the broad principles of what you think is a fair agreement. And you still might have to iron out the details, but just agreeing to the broad principles that, you know what, we're going to figure out a way to split things up pretty fairly. One spouse is not going to be left in the poorhouse and out in the dust, and the other spouse isn't going to be hoarding all the assets. Well, if you come up to that agreement, you will be in a much better position. You will save lots of money on fees from all of the potential people you're going to be hiring and fighting it out. And on top of that is you're going to be in the best position possible, particularly when kids are involved, to have a good long-term relationship with your spouse, who then becomes just the co-parent, the ex-spouse at that point. And you have the ability to dictate these terms and take control on your own and not just instantly run. And this is what bugs me the most is I have so many people who I deal with, particularly early in the process. Maybe no one's even filed for divorce, but it's clear when things are heading in that direction. But they come to me and they say, I'm going to go find the most aggressive attorney who is going to represent my interests, and I'm going to screw my other spouse and take everything that I can get and this and that and blah, 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 blah. That's not the way to approach this process, particularly if you have the kids involved and if the issues aren't that complicated. And what do I mean is, some people have a house, a couple retirement accounts, you know, some cars to split. Do you really want to be spending $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 when you only have $100,000 or $500,000 in assets? That's just going to cause more issues than it's worth. Now, if you've got $100 million in assets, yeah, you know, you got to make sure you cover your basis and get all the help that you can. But this is not a case in a place where you necessarily have to make this a big battle. And so even throughout the whole process is you are going to have a lot of emotions. You're going to probably be fired up, disappointed. You're going to have accusations. This went wrong. This person cheated. This person doesn't love me. This person doesn't whatever. It's not here nor there when it comes to this process. The important part is that you split things up as civilly as possible, as efficiently as possible, and so that both of you can get on and move on with the rest of your life and hopefully keep your relationship somewhat intact so that you can at least speak to that person when you need to without causing a big battle. And very importantly, if you have kids, is so the kids at least have a model of how parents who are not together can interact with each other for the long term. So that was my rant for today. You know, this has been coming up over and over again. And I want you as a listener, if If you are not a regular listener to this show, welcome to the Divorce and Your Money Show. This isn't really a hard financial topic, but an important one because it can save you a lot of money. Definitely check out the other episodes, but try to apply some rationality to this process to the extent you can, because the more that you attack this civilly, the cheaper and more efficient and better off all of you will be afterwards. Because otherwise, here's what's going to happen. You're going to end up paying two attorneys. One of you is going to hire me, and you are going to soon be out a lot of money, and you didn't necessarily need to be out all of that money. And there's a way to just do this where it's efficient for all people involved. And I just get so frustrated when, particularly because I have a lot of friends who are unfortunately going through divorce, or other people I know, acquaintances that I deal with on a day-to-day basis, because this is what people know me for, and this is what I do. And frustrates me so much where one spouse is coming with the right attitude, says, you know what, let's just mediate this, or let's just sit around the kitchen table and just kind of knock out the big items, particularly where there's not a lot of money at stake, meaning millions and millions of dollars. And, you know, we're just going to get this done efficiently and just knock it out. And then what happens is the other spouse is like, well, you cheated on me, or the other spouse runs off on a vacation, or the other spouse doesn't have any sort of rationality, doesn't take a moment to breathe and think about the consequences of their action in the long term and in the grand context of what's going on here and in the divorce process. So that's a long-winded rant just to say, you know what, if you've never listened to me before, take a breath. I know you might hate your spouse at the moment, and you might be at the fieriest point or one of many fiery points, because things are about to happen and this divorce is about to go and it's going on now. But you have a lot more control. Both of you have a lot more control over this process than you give yourself credit for. You don't have to give it all to your attorneys. You can just do a lot of this yourself to eliminate and at least reduce some of the fighting that's involved in this process, some of the acrimony. And I promise you, in the long term, you will be in a much, much better position if you cover your bases and you go through this process civilly. I know things happened. You got to talk to your therapist, talk to your friend, support group to get those emotions out of you. But this is a business deal, and I want you to treat it as such and just treat this as a rational business deal, and you will be able to enjoy the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years, or maybe even longer for some of you, of your life, and move on and get past this quickly and efficiently and enjoy the rest of your life. So that's it for this episode. Thanks for listening. Now, before you go, I want to make sure you get some really important information. All you have to do is go to divorceandyourmoney.com. The first thing you do on the website is sign up for the email list. You'll see a little box that says get updates and tips, and I will send you exclusive articles and content that you won't find anywhere else. And it goes directly to you, and it's a great way to reach me and ask me your questions. Second, on the coaching page at divorceandyourmoney.com, you can learn about our personalized coaching services. And here's the reality. Many of you are making financial mistakes or not getting all that you deserve as part of the divorce process. Or maybe you're just having a hard time making sense of it all and making rational decisions during this emotional time. And look, your divorce attorney is good. It's great to have a divorce attorney, but divorce attorneys are not really financial experts. And so ask yourself a simple question. Did your attorney, if you have one, explain some of the details that we just talked about in this episode? The financial issues in divorce can be really complicated, and that's why there's over 100 episodes of information, hours and hours and hours of information just related to the complex financial things that you need to be thinking about as you get divorced. And one of the big questions you might have if you've been listening to the podcast or read the book, Divorce and Your Money, The No-Nonsense Guide, or have been reading the articles that I send just to the email listeners, you might be asking, well, how does this apply to me? How does this apply to my situation and my divorce and what's going on in my life?
Well, the only way to really find out, and the only way I can help you in your specific situation, is through the personalized coaching sessions. And I get to work with you across the United States, from California to New York, and everywhere in between, in person, by phone, and by email, depending upon what you need. And all you have to do to start getting help is go to divorceandyourmoney.com/coaching. You'll see some videos there, and you just fill out a short form, answer a few questions, and we will set up a complimentary introductory call. Here's the deal, is once you sign that divorce settlement, there's no going back. So the sooner you get help, the better. Finally, subscribe to the podcast and make sure you automatically get updates with all the new episodes that are coming out. And leave a review. A 5-star review on iTunes really helps other people discover this show. I'm your host, Sean Lehman, MBA and Certified Divorce Financial Analyst. Thank you for listening.